Okay, so we're going to take a look in Shabbos. We'll go to Shabbos now. Kuf Mem Gimel Mem Beis. All right. I think we're going to try to take up the Shechita area more fully. In order to do that, it's going to be we're going to have to do the next couple. There's another sugya, the next blot or so, and then there's a big. Big riff. Oh, we'll see, it's interesting. Okay, anyway, so the Mishnah is like this. Chavis, Shenishbro, Matzulim, and it wasn't Shalosh Suda. So, okay, that's a different topic. Ain Soch, Nisapeh, Slozim, and Mashkin. Right, this is the Mishnah we read yesterday. Yin Yatsu Me'atzman, Asurim. Okay. So, what's the Isser Rashi again? Says the Isser of Ain Sochtin. Is because of Disha. It's a told of Dash. Okay. So that's the Isser and the Maisa of Shechita. But Im Yatsu Me'atzman Asurin, why? So Rashi learns Gzeira Shem Yischod L'Chadchila. Right? Gzeira Shem Yischod L'Chadchila. Just like the Gemara in Beitza had, right? The time for the one of the reasons for the Beitza is Mashkin Shezavu because of Shem Yisrael. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Im LeOchlin Hayotzemen Mutar Vim LeMashkin Hayotzemen Aser. So Rabbi Yehuda has a chilak. Im la ochlin heim achlu nosim o som pero siyotz min mutter tlo nechle b'mashe zavu v'lekal imigzaben shem yischo v'im la mashkin b'chlu nosim asurim de nechle b'may de nafka minaya v'niskayim amachshav to v'ikal imigzor shem yischo v'ochi amirim b'beitza the time of the mashkin zavu mushum shem yischo. Okay, so that's basically what we covered in Beitza. Now the Gemara says it's not as simple as it appears in this Mishnah. Okay, so go ahead. Who wants to go? I'm going to review the Amar Shmuel. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda says, Shmuel says the name Rabbi Yehuda, that the Chachamim were moda to Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Zeisim Vanovim. That's not what they're arguing about in the Mishnah. Zeisim Vanovim, everybody would agree that even if you put them away for Achila, the Mashkin is Asur. Why? Because Stam Rashi says, Rov or Feschita. So if the person gets the Mashke, he's not going to be disappointed. Right? It will be Nichale. He'll be happy with it. And therefore what? Right, but it's like halachically is an interesting question. So what's he saying halachically? In terms of the gzera of Mashkin and Shezavu, right? I mean, are they just being so particular here, they can just carve out an exception to Zeisim Vanov? Yeah, so it's Mashra from the Gemara later on, the Gemara investigates this possibility, and the Gemara uses the Inyan of Tumah to investigate this possibility. And because by Tumah, you have a din that Mashke is Machshir Ochlin for Tumah. The Gemara goes through, I don't think we'll skip it because it's a little complicated, but the Gemara goes through and says that if Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan agree that Mashkin, that the Zeisim and the Anavim are Aser, then it must be that they hold as a Din Mashke. And that would show up in the Inyan of Tumah. So it's Mashra from the Gemara that it means they're learning that since most people are happy with the Mashke, then it has an objective Shem Mashke. Right, I'm still going with the concept that you have to have a shame mashke in order to have the gzeirah on mashke and shezavu, but they're saying that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan agree that it always has a din of a mashke.
Don't Those do have a shame.
Yeah. So that's Rav Yehuda. That's Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. But Rav holds that Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim argue on every case. So Mustaver, so once again, that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel holds that they agree by the Zeizim Vanavim. That's definitely going to be, it's going to be Usser, because of Mashkin Shazavu. And Rav is saying that it's going to still be the same Machlokas. Yeah, so what's the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel? What's the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel? Alright, so you'd say that what? Once again, that what? That was that, according to Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the Shem Mashke goes on an objective level. If at least in terms of the Chumrah, if it has a Shem Mashke on an objective level, then that's how the Gzeir is formulated, in terms of the objective Shem. Right? And Rav is saying over here, it's a question of, since Yechoshesh, for the person to do a schita, Yechoshesh is going to come and continue what was done. It goes by the personal, right? Like Rashi says, if it's in the Mishnah, what does Rashi say? It's neskaima machshavto. It's dafka a mashka of a neskaima machshavto, not an objective shame mashka. Okay, that's fine. Go ahead. Let's put it this way. What is the reasoning of this? What's the reasoning of the Gzeira in general, in a general sense? Like the Rambam says. It's like the Rambam phrases it very, very well in the Parish of Shemes. That has to do like this. Yeah. Basically, the idea is mashkin osan a mashkin ain't a mutar and lefisha ain't lo rishus lishdos me osan a mashkin b'shabbos. That if he put them into, if he had them lamashkin, right? So he entered Shabbos now with a fruit, but he really wanted a mashke, right? So what was the fruit basically to him? It was only for a Maisa Shechita. He was Kavua, basically, these fruits for a Maisa Shechita, which is Nisar Deraisa, right? So now, if we let him have the juice, which could only have come through, which he could have only gotten through a Maisa Shechita, then it's somewhat putting him in a situation where he is related to, in his mind, to the Maisa Shechita that caused them, and with Choshesh, now he'll actually go and do the Shechita. Right? In other words, we let a guy drink juice that came out before Shabbos, even though juice has come through Shechita. No one says don't drink any juice on Shabbos because you get juice through Shechita, and maybe the guy will be more thirsty and try to be sochet more things. Right? That, there's no gzera like that. It's dafka things that to him required Shechita Shabbos. Right? It's dafka things that required a schita b'shabbos. So since he put away these fruits, and in his mind, these are only for schita, and on Shabbos, he could not have gotten them but through schita. So to allow him to have the product of that which would have been a malacha to him is usher, because it's to him, it was already set up that this object must come through a shechita, so it's sort of like opening up in his mind the possibility of the shechita itself. Right, but it's because the shechita was a reality with regard to these fruits from before Shabbos. There was already, the shechita and the mashkin were already linked together before Shabbos started. So to let the guy have something that in his mind is the product of a malacha is to get too close to the Maisa Malacha itself in his mind. And then he'll forget about it, and then he'll continue. Right?
So shouldn't it be hooked to an Isser? You're saying the only way to get it is the Malacha?
No, because it's ochel. It is ochel. Right. You mean, is it a nolad problem?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Some want to learn that it is, that this whole thing is a nolad problem, according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Why is it different versus schor? Because they are ochel, but they're designated for a certain thing that you can do in
Shabbos. It's a good question. It's a good question. I mean, why isn't it stam muktzah? I mean, aside for the Isser, why isn't it a muktzah? Aside for the Isser of Mashkin, says of Shema Yischot, would it also be a muktzah problem? That's your question.
Well, I'm even asking about the fruits, not just the Mashkin, just
others. Well, he's not talking about the fruits. I don't know. We have to look into that. I mean, no, is the fruits themselves would not be muktzah machmas Isser, because there's no Isser needing the fruits. Right, your question is: would Rabbi Yehuda consider this like peros for schora?
What about the juice?
The juice would be, yeah. The juice is definitely a problem of. I mean that you couldn't
juice
get this.
That comes out of itself by itself.
Would the juice have been muktzah machmas Isser from beforehand? Well, that because that's a good question.
Well, why wouldn't the fruit become? Why wouldn't the fruit be Isser muktzah machmas?
No, the fruit itself, you can eat the fruit without an Isser.
Yeah, but didn't you? You're saying you can also do chicken. That's only the God of Eitzim.
So that's his question. Would you say that a food that is designated for a malacha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would be like what he's calling peros eschora, or tana galos hamas l'God of Eitzim, same thing. That's a good question. What would you say? Yeah, the Rishonim and Beitza take up this question. The Tosas, that's that big Tosas in Beitza in Gimel Amud Aleph. Because he says, what do you need the whole Isser of Peros HaNoshrim for? Why don't you say they're Muktzah Machmas Isser? That's Tosas' question in Beitza. Why do you need the Gzera of Peros HaNoshrim? A fruit that falls off the tree on Shabbos is already Muktzah. Right? That's his question. He doesn't have an easy time answering that question.
It's kind of like these things were only to fall before they were.
He has to find cases where there'll be an overlap, where there'll be a pre-Noshar that would not have been Muktzah. But it's not easy. It's not easy. The Rashba gives a funny answer. The Rashba just says, it's both, just in case somebody doesn't offer Muktzah, they'll also have this one, or just in case. Whatever, he has a funny, the Rosh was a funny answer.
If the fruit was, you know, only to fall an hour shot.
Well, that's a question, that's Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, then there's a question also, what would Rabbi Shimon hold about the Paris and Ocean? Would he agree that those are Mukta too? But that's a good question, Stam a good question, but that's not our question right here. But I'm saying over here that according to the way Rashi is expressing it, the Isser of the Peros HaNoshrim, the Isser of the Mashkin Shezavu is what? If you're going to say that there's a chilek, whether you're Machnisan LaOchel or LaMashkin, so then that means to say that the Gzera is only on a Mashke that you were Kavua for a Maisa Shechita. Right? But if you can learn like Shmuel that it doesn't matter, then it's just any shame mashke, any mashke at all. Just goes by the shame mashke, mashke itself. But it seems that Rav holds has to be that you are kavua the mashke from beforehand, because then you're kovei this l'shem shechita. But stam it would seem, according to Rav, would not be a problem. You can't say stam it was kavua l'mashkin. You can say stam that it has a shem mashkin when it comes out. Even if it was la'ochlin, has a shem mashkin when it comes out. But if you're going to learn that in terms of Rav, it doesn't go by the shem mashkin. It goes by the fact that it was kavua for a shechita. But you can say stam things are. What's you going to say? Mistama it's kavua. I guess you could say that. You have to say mistama it's kavua. Nasa machshavta doesn't mean dafke his machshava. It means it fulfilled its purpose. Mistama, it had a purpose. Okay, we have to. It's not, I'm not sure.
It still relate to the Maestro most.
Right, right. In other words, when it entered Shabbos, he had the Stam view of it was essentially as a l'schita. All right, we'll leave the question for Stam. Chachamim le Rabbi Yehuda b'Shar Peiros. And what? So not only is Rabbi Yehuda moded to the Chachamim by Zeisim v'Anovim.
Right.
Oh, I skipped. I'm sorry. So that's Rav and Shmuel. Go ahead. Now Rabbi Yochanan says what? So who does Rabbi Yochanan agree with? Rav or Shmuel? No.
Who's that?
We don't like Rabbi Yehuda by Shabbat, it's fine. And then what about, we don't like Rabbi Yehuda by Jason Barnabas, so it doesn't matter whether you learn
like
Rabbi
Yehuda. He looks like Rav.
He holds like Rav. He holds that that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham themselves were arguing on everything. Right? But he holds the Psak is like Rabbi Yehuda in one and like the Rabban in the other. Right? The Psak comes out the way that Shmuel says the Shitas are. But he holds the Shitas themselves are Cholok. Right? He says it makes sense that we should paskin like Rabbi Yehuda b'Zeisin v'Anavim. I'm sorry, Hazia. We should paskin like Rabbi Yehuda b'Shar Peros and like the Rabban on Zeisin v'Anavim. Okay, now you have one more. Shmuel again is basically finishing up from before, no? That before he just said that Rabbi Yehuda was moded the Chachamim Zeisim v'Anavim. But now he's saying the Chachamim are moded to Rabbi Yehuda and Shar Peros. Right? So there's no machlokas at all. Great, no machlokas. Someone got mixed up in the mission and thought there was a machlokas, but really it's not a machlokas. So that's what Rabbi Yirmiyah says. So it has to be a machlokas here. I mean, you can tell me that the Mishnah is not talking about a certain case, but you can't eliminate all the cases. Then where's the machlokas? Go ahead. Yep. What does that mean? Go out and find it. All right, not the most helpful answer. Oh, so he says, now it comes out, this is what they're arguing about. This is the Shmuel way of learning, right? The Shmuel's derech. That what? That they agree about Zeisim v'Anavim. And they agree about Shar Peros. So meaning say Zeisim v'Anavim, everybody agrees, is also no matter what. Shar Peros, it would seem, it depends what you put them away for. Okay? But where do they argue? Tusim Rimonim. Rashi. So that's something that some people do like the Mashkin from. So therefore the Rabbanan made it like Zeisim v'Anavim themselves. And Rabbi Yehuda says on that, since it's not objective, it goes by the guy. Right? Go ahead. Yeah. But Shar Peros, nobody juices them. Therefore the Rabbanan are going to agree with Rabbi Yehuda. That what? This was Chaim's question. That what? That depends on the case, or it's even less than that? Now, is that objective too? That nobody, that even if you put them away from Mashkin, well, that's just that they would be mutter? Or that one is just saying it depends by the case too? We don't have a definite statement from Rabbi Yehuda either on Shar Peros. Right? We just know they're not arguing on Shar Peros. So I have to see later what the Shar Peros case is.
Well,
I mean, the Tusim Rimonim, the Rabbanan Shita by Tusim Rimonim is not so simple, though. Right? Because it doesn't have an objective Shem Mashkeh. And he's not putting it away the Shem Mashkeh. right? Okay, so if Nachman's raya is from the Braisa, if Nachman's raya is from the Braisa, because it's a zeisim v'anavim, whatever came, whatever dripped from them is usher, whether you put them away from Mashkin or put them away from Ochlin. So that's like the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda according to Shmuel. But Tusim and Rimonim, then the Braisa says it depends, right? If it was for Achila, it's Mutter, and if it's for Mashkin, it's Aser, and the Braisa says this is Rabbi Yehuda. So you see, that's a good raya. It's a good raya that what that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim on Zeisin Vanavim, right?
And
the Chachamim Omrim Bein LaOchlin Bein LaMashkin Hayotzimein Aser, right? Meaning by the Tusim Rimonim, that's where they argue. From this Brisa says that they argue on, they agree on Zeisim Vanavim, and they argue on Tusim Rimonim. So the question is actually, why does he say it's Mestaver? It's an open Brisa, right? So that's what Rashi asks. V'ha denokat Rav Nachman Lishna de Mestavra v'lo amar behedja. Why doesn't he say there's an open Brisa? De Betusim Rimonim Pligi. Right? Why does he say it's Mestaver that they're arguing on Tusim Rimonim? Why? Because they found the Braisa that says it. It's not Mestaver they argue on that. Then there's a Braisa that says they argue on that. Right? So what's his answer? Because it's possible to say that they're arguing on Shar Peros too. Right? And he wants to show you, why does he say Tusim Rimonim? To show you the koch of Rabbi Yehuda. That even Tusim Rimonim, that some people do use for juice, since you put them away for food, is mutter. Right? But maybe the Rabbanon would also argue on the Shar Peros. So it's not Mestaver, and it was in terms of showing that they argue on Tusim Rimonim, it's true. But it could be that they're arguing on more. Right? In other words, it's Mestaver that this is all they're arguing on. Certainly they argue on this from the Braisa, but it's Mestaver that this is the extent of their machlokas. And that's the Mestaver part, right? Okay. Alright, so it comes out like this, that what? So what are the shitas now? What are the shitas now? We're going to go with Shmuel. The shitas are that Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan are agreeing on Zeisin Vanovim, and they are agreeing on Shar Peros, even the Rabbanan are agreeing on Shar Peros, that they're mutter. Certainly if it's put away for Achila. And they're only arguing on Tusim V'Rimonim. Okay? So let's take a look at the Ramban. Ramban, all the Rishonim, are bothered that this seems to present a clear question for our Gemara and Beitza. It's a clear question. What's the question? It's a clear problem.
For your ability to say that even Shar Peros are going to be mutter, then how are you going to say that the Beitza is usher because of...
That's right. I mean, we said in Beitza, there was a sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak, right? And Rabbi Yitzchak said, an egg comes under the category of Mashkin Shezavu. But this whole Gemara makes it exceedingly clear that... It doesn't just go by a mashke shezavu, right? It has to go by something that was omid lekach, right? Because even a fruit, even the fruit juice, even the juice of a fruit is not under the category of mashke shezavu, unless it was omid for that, unless it was actually put away for that. So how could you say that the gzeirah was just made indiscriminately broad to even include an egg, when it doesn't even include things that are actually juices? Right? That's the basic question. So how's the Ramban phrase the question? Go ahead. In other words, you can't just say what we said last time. You can't say anything that was squeezed out of anything is also... That's how we said, how do you include an egg in Mashkin Shezavu? There's obviously no chshash schita by an egg, right? So we were forced to say they just made the gzera on anything that comes from anything, basically.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, but you see over here that that juice that comes from a fruit is not usher in certain cases. So you can't say the gzera is just on anything that comes from anything. So then where's the egg? Then your egg, then you're left without the gzera on the egg. Right, so Ramban says there's a problem, because if you're going to say according to Shita and Beitza that the Beitza is included in the gzera of Peros, of Mashkin Shazavu from Peros, so here you have Mashkin that they came from Peros Atzman and in that Asr. It's a Kol Shekein. If you're going to include the Beitza, you should certainly include these Mashkin. Well, he puts it the opposite way. That if you're going to say these are Mutter, because nobody would do Shita over here, certainly by the Beitza, it's Mutter, nobody would do Shita over there. Go ahead. Okay, very interesting Ramban. So he's saying that you could say like this, that Shar Peros, a person has them for Achila, right? And when juice comes out of it, it's considered a loss, right? It's considered a loss to him, the normal person. So they were not gozer on that. In other words, just because something bad happened to the fruits already, you're not gozer, you're going to ruin them further. Not childish. Well, they're half smushed. You're good. But the Beitza, you can't say that. But by the Beitza, that's what the chicken does. It lays eggs. It's not a hefset to the chicken when it lays the eggs. Right? Not a half to the chicken, so this is under the gzera. Is that the end of that first answer? Just now he's trying to put it back into the technical. Just like the mashkin of the vashba, the zaysim and oven, their mashkin is baluin and what? Right, they're baluin and they come and they're made to come out. So too by the chicken, the egg is balua and made to come out. But he's trying to show you that there's some superiority to the beitza over the sharperos. Yeah, so what do you say though? Halachically, how do they formulate the gzera? That's gonna include the beitza and exclude the sharperos. Right? The Rashba expresses a similar idea in beitza. He says the juice. He says in a fruit, you only have one chance. It's either going to turn into a juice, or it's going to be a food. But by the beitza, it's a constant thing. It's always laying eggs, and it never and it remains a chicken, even though it keeps laying eggs. But the fruit doesn't remain a fruit when it turns into a juice. No, it's a similar idea. I mean, you say it's not a hefsid. No. It means to say it's not by shar peros that are not for juices. So if you turn it into a juice, it's a hefsid. But you don't say by a chicken there's any hefsid if it makes an egg. On the contrary, the guy's happy he's laying eggs. So he's saying like this: you have to modify the definition that we had from Rashi and Beitza, right? In Rashi and Beitza, we were saying that the gzeira is on anything that's produced through the process of excretion. That's his kasha. If the gzeira is so broad that it's just described by the process, right? Any food that underwent the process of excretion, and that's why we include the beitza, then how could you exclude the mashkin shezavu from any pre? This is definitely it's more closely related to the process of excretion of the pre than an egg is, right? But his answer is, that's true, that was the basic formulation of the gzera, but it was limited to things that are considered products. You understand? It was limited to entities, not just an edible that was excreted, but a product that came through excretion. So in that realm, you can say it's not a product if it's a hefset. You understand? He's putting just a limitation on the definition. You got to start out with the broad definition that we had, but then exclude, but limit it to things that are considered products of excretion, not just coming about through excretion. But you don't call something the product of an excretion if the process itself is a hefset.
I'm not sure. Why is...
But the second answer is that that's the machlokas that Rabbi Yitzchak himself would hold. Shar peros also asr. That's what he's not sure about, right? His second answer is to say then know that there's no stira, because Rabbi Yitzchak, who said you include the egg, he himself would include Shapiros. Right? And he wants to say that's the mashma that Rabbi Yochanan held that way. Rav. Because Rav and Rabbi Yochanan here both say that Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan are arguing on everything. So that was what he was unsure about. Can you modify the gzeira of the that is defined by the process? Can you limit it to something that's considered a product? Or if you're defining by the process, you can't make such a limitation, and then you're gonna have to include not only the beitza, but the b'nei chanami, the mashkin from Shapiros too. That's what he's mesupik about. Once you're defining by the process of excretion, can you say, but that which is considered a beneficial excretion? In other words, something that rises to the level of a definite type of a product. And then you could say that the beitza is viewed as a product of excretion, and but the mashkin from Shapiros is not. Or do you say if you can define by a process of excretion itself, then it's mamela gonna have to take everything into account, and then you have to say that the manda amar in beitza, who included the beitza under the sisser, would also have to include Shapiros under the sisser, and he says that's the way he prefers, right? The second answer is the one he prefers, because it's mashma that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan both hold that Rabbi Yehuda was absolute. The Rabbanan were absolute. The Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda were absolutes, straight up and down, from Zesim to Shapiros. Right? Even Rabbi Yochanan didn't paskin that way, but he's saying it's mashma that he held. There was no differentiation in any mashka between. There was no point where they didn't argue on any mashka.
So we hold like Rabbi Yehuda by Shapiros.
Yeah, but I'm saying in terms of what that Gemara over there was questioning, what Gezerah it would fall under, right? So would it fall in the Tanayim, which Gezerah would Beitza fall under? So Rabbi Yitzchak said it would fall under Peros, it would fall under Mashkin Shezavu, right? And Rabbi Yochanan seems to hold that the Tana who holds from Mashkin Shezavu would hold it by Shapiros too. Because he says, I don't want to hold like, I don't think we should hold like the Rabbanan by Shapiros. But they themselves did. I mean, but what would Rabbi Yochanan say about the Beitza?
Rabbi Yehuda?
Right, because it's Mashma, that's the way Rabbi Yochanan was learning in Beitza too. Because Rabbi Yochanan said, when he saw Rabbi Yehuda say Shapiros are that everything goes by the Shapiros that are all made for the Paris that are all made for Shechita, for Achila or Mutter, he concluded that the Beitza must be Mutter going to Rabbi Yehuda based on that. Right? He didn't make a chiluk like this. But that's why Rabbi Yochanan and Beitza said that Rabbi Yehuda must really be the Rabbanan. All right, but basically there's two answers. Either you're gonna try to work it out piece svara that says you can add an additional factor to the gzera that would exclude things that are considered hefsid, or you'll say that Rabbi Yitzchak and Achanami would hold a Shapiros are also awesome.